May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. So just a few weeks ago, I was in Bethlehem, the town in the Judean hills where this famous story takes place. I went on a trip to the Holy Land because I wanted to get as close as I could to Jesus in this world. As close as I could to where he lived and breathed and was born. I was really looking for incarnation. Christmas is the feast of the incarnation, when we celebrate that God Almighty, the God who created the universe, became a tiny human baby, born just as we heard, in the most down-to-earth way possible, to a poor family without even a roof over their heads. If Jesus were in that same spot in Bethlehem today, he would have a roof over his head, albeit a roof that's currently under repair. When I was in Bethlehem, I visited the Church of the Nativity, the oldest, it's actually the oldest continually used Christian church in the world. And it's built over the supposed cave or grotto where Jesus was born. When I went there, I was kind of expecting to find something left of a quaint looking inn, or maybe a picturesque country barn with some animals. It didn't look anything like that. For one thing, we couldn't even see anything of the church. It was completely covered in scaffolding because after literally 700 years of arguing, the various sects that control the church have agreed to replace the roof. So every surface in the church was completely covered in plywood to keep it safe from the construction. And secondly, it was extremely crowded. The big thing that people go to see at the Church of Nativity is, of course, the cave, the grotto that is in the basement underneath the main altar of the church. And the entire church was full of this huge line of people waiting to get into this tiny little room. And so we waited in line for about 2 hours. What I really liked about the experience was this incredible group of people that we were in line with, pilgrims from all over the world. There were people from Nigeria, from Russia, from Spain, from the Philippines. There was even a group from Kathmandu in Nepal. And the other wonderful thing about it was our tour guide, Abud. Abud was from Bethlehem. He was Muslim. And he wasn't a super expert in the history of the church. But what he was expert at was getting his group to the front of the line as quickly as possible. I don't know if you've ever been on a travel tour, but this was one where the tour guide had a microphone, and then we all had these earbuds so we could hear him. Even if we were wandering around in different places, we could hear him kind of disembodied voice in our ear. And so Abud had the microphone on, and every so often he would go into the cave, into the grotto by a back way, and throw people out of it so we could get in sooner. And we could hear him up at the front of the church when we were in the line saying things like, okay, that's good, you've paid enough, move on. Come on, other people are waiting. And then he'd come back to us and he'd teach us a few words of Arabic or tell us a story about his childhood. And then he would go forward and throw more people out of the grotto. So finally, it was our turn. And we stepped down some marble steps into a small room, completely covered in white marble and red brocade fabric on the walls. And there was an altar on one side, right over the spot on the floor where, according to legend, Jesus entered the world. And on the left side, there was a little manger or a crib made all out of white marble and draped in red fabric. It was not the little wooden stable I had in my head. And I have to say, the whole experience was really interesting and wonderful, but I didn't feel closer to Jesus there. It did not lead me to a new understanding of the mystery of the incarnation. I ended up getting that understanding a few weeks later, back here in Massachusetts, in the coffee shop next to the Honda dealer where my car was getting repaired. You know, I really love coffee shops. I love seeing all the different people who walk through the door on their way from here to there, and I love eavesdropping on their conversations and finding out what it is that people chat about. Across from me, there was a mom and her nanny. They were talking about what they should put in the kids' lunches. And next to me was a lawyer checking in with her office. And there were a couple of sales guys talking about sports, just relaxing between sales calls. Coffee shops really make me fall in love with humanity. People are so interesting and different. Every person is really a walking miracle, full of a fascinating life story. And you can see right in their faces as they stand in line waiting for their coffee, how much they care, or how much they hurt, or how much they're in need, or how hard they're trying. It's a real cross-section of life. People who may be about to do amazing things at that one moment, just doing an ordinary thing, buying a cup of coffee. And as I sat there in that coffee shop, waiting for my car to get fixed, it occurred to me that Jesus came into an ordinary world, just like this. This Christmas story with the humble shepherds and the everyday inconveniences of pregnancy and no room at the inn remind me how normal and really unspecial Jesus's birth and life were. The things that we experience, he experienced. 2,000 years ago, okay, there weren't coffee shops, but there was the local well where everyone went for water, or the beach where the fishing boats got repaired. They were probably the same kind of place, a cross-section of humanity. Amazing people in one moment doing ordinary things. And I could see Jesus wanting to be in just such a place because of his love for people. That love for people was the whole reason for his existence. God became human in Jesus to be with us because of God's love for us, to share our lives in each ordinary moment, in the extraordinary moments too. And I thought, you know, if Jesus came today, he would definitely be in a coffee shop. And then I realized, as I was sitting there, of course, Jesus already is in this coffee shop, right now. That's the whole point, the point of Christmas, the feast of the incarnation. God became human so that God in Jesus could be every place where humans are, so God could be with us. Jesus is in the lives of everyone I encountered in that coffee shop, in the mother and her nanny's care for those kids, in that lawyer trying to help her clients, in those sales guys just enjoying each other's friendship. Jesus was there in that moment, loving those people more than anyone could. Those exact people were the ones that Jesus came to be with. Jesus was born to be with them. Incarnation means that God is in this world, part of it, not apart from it. God is communicating to us every moment through the world around us. It means God is teaching us, trying to shape and form us into the people God wants us to be by sending into our lives the people that we need to be with. So every person we encounter is really an angel, a messenger bringing good news from God, if we just pay attention and listen in the right way. That's the miracle of the incarnation. Jesus is born to be with us, with you. That's the real gift of Christmas. So what I really want to wonder about on this special night is, what if we could remember that gift all the time? Not just on Christmas, but every day. What would our world be like if whenever we went to a coffee shop or our office or our school or home, that we saw people that Jesus came to be with? What if we saw the face of Jesus right in each person? Saw when we looked at each person, someone Jesus loved enough to move heaven and earth to be with? What if we saw a person utterly loved by Jesus every time we looked at someone of a different background than us? Or what if we saw a person utterly loved by Jesus every time we look in the mirror? Can you imagine what your office or school or community would be like? How would it be different if that were true, if we saw in that way all the time? Think about what that would look like. What can you do to make your community more like the one that you're thinking about right now? Because if you did that, then God's love really would be incarnate. It would really be embodied in you. Well, you can imagine how silly I felt when I realized in this way that I actually did not have to go all the way to the Holy Land to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. I felt Jesus' presence so much more in that coffee shop than I did at the cave of the Church of the Nativity. I realized that I could and I can walk in the footsteps of Jesus right here in this church, on the streets outside, as you will be walking as you return home on this Christmas Eve, walking in the footsteps of Jesus, who is right here with us, waiting to be found by you. Just as the baby Jesus waited to be found by the shepherds that first Christmas long ago. That's what incarnation means. Jesus is incarnate and embodied in our world today. Jesus is incarnate with you and for you and in you.